Amen. Well, we're going to get away from our series on the disciplines for a week. I want to really think on the cross tonight. I'm going to invite you to turn to two places in Scripture. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter number 53, and then if you'll also turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter number 26. And come to the Lord's table tonight, I do want us to think upon the suffering of our Savior. And of course, Isaiah 53 is a passage of Scripture that looks forward to the cross, looks forward to that time of suffering where Jesus paid for our sin debt. And just want to read and make a few comments here and look at some things regarding His suffering. Nothing new, but it's something that we need to focus on as we come to the Lord's table. Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our reports, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. I want you to think about how we don't like being despised, do we? We don't like being rejected. We all like to be accepted. You know, we like to feel good about those things. But Jesus says here, he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You think about the griefs and the sorrows of sin, the consequences of not having your sin paid for. Man, where would we be without Jesus? And we would be in a world of hurt for sure. We're full of grief, full of sorrow. It says there, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we view the cross, we view what our sin did to our Savior. When we view the sufferings that he suffered on our behalf, we see just how despicable that the Lord saw our sins as being, and what it brought to our Savior. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Kind of unusual statement, don't you think? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's how much the love that God had for us. It pleased him to bruise his son so that we could be redeemed. Pleased the Lord to bruise him. Verse 10, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his offering, his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The Lord is satisfied with the suffering of Jesus. We don't have to suffer for our sins. There are some places today and some people today who they think that they can gain something from the Lord, by beating on themselves with chains, or by inflicting punishment on themselves. Or you will see possibly some folks who will even allow themselves to be nailed to a cross, thinking that somehow that's going to help pay for their sins. Jesus paid it all. I love that song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's what this is saying. He saw the travail of His soul and He was satisfied. He said, by His knowledge, there in verse 11, by His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. He says, therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I'm so glad He made intercession on our behalf. Amen. What a blessing. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter number 26. And we've done this before. I just want to go step by step through our Lord's suffering here, as is shown in the Gospel of Matthew. And just as we approach the Lord's table tonight, see these things. And Matthew 26 and verse number 39, we see the pain of the approaching agony. I mean, there was pain seeing what was about to transpire. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what He was about to go through. I mean, we just read what He's about to go through. And He is the living Word. He knew what He was about to go through. And we see in verse 39, it says, and He went a little further, and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Jesus willingly went to the cross, but His flesh was repulsed by it. You can imagine, right? I mean, not only the taking of sin, I mean, His absolute perfect flesh taking our sin on Himself, but also the suffering that was not His. His suffering was our suffering. And He willingly went. He wanted the Father's will to be done. And then we see, look at verse 49, and we see the second pain, the pain of betrayal at the hand of a friend. I don't know of anything that pains much worse than when you are betrayed by someone you trusted. There in verse 49, it says, and forthwith He came to Jesus, talking about Judas, and said, Hail, Master, and kissed Him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took Him. I mean, even though Jesus knew the betrayal was coming, didn't make it any easier. I mean, Judas was chosen with the others to walk with Jesus, and he walked with Him that whole time and was lost as a goose. Lost as a goose. And just, it's sad. It's sad that that took place. We see also in verse number 56, we see the pain of being forsaken by friends. See, Judas betrayed, but the rest of the disciples ran away. Verse 56, but all this was done that the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. Jesus left by Himself to face the trial, to face the mocking, to face the scourging. We see the pain of false accusation as He is arrested by the chief priests and the elders. Look at verse 59. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put Him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Pain of a false accusation And here's their accusation. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Well, we know what Jesus meant by that, don't we? Yeah, he's talking about the temple of his body. And he was God in the flesh. And now we are the temple of God. Yeah, we are. We have God's Spirit living within. But here, verse 62, the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But we notice Jesus held his peace. And that was forecast by Isaiah in Isaiah 53 that we just read. Remember? And when they asked about his name, who he said he was, he gave an answer to that. But when he was accused, he gave no answer to accusations. Gave no answer. Then we see the pain of shame and mistreatment and the mockery. Verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. He had the pain of shame and mistreatment and mockery here. They said, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? I don't know. You ever been spit on before? That was one thing that our parents did not tolerate, and I'm glad they didn't. You know? If one of us boys spit on the other one, we were in deep trouble. They didn't put up with that. I hate being spit on, spit at. It is a disgusting thing. And he suffered mistreatment. The buffeting, the smiting with the palms of the hands, pain there. We see the pain of denial by a friend in verse 75. When we see at the end of Peter's denial, denied three times, it says in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He denied. I mean, Peter was top dog in the disciple chain. Okay? He's not only was inner circle, but he was the top guy in the inner circle. And he was the leader, really, of the disciples, other than Jesus being the leader. He was the top disciple. And he denied the Lord three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. So the pain of denial by a friend. And then there's the pain of an unjust verdict down in verse chapter 27 and verse 22. Matthew 27 verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. And it shows the unjustness by what the governor said here and what Pilate said there in verse 23. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? I mean, he examined him and he said three times, I find no fault in him at all. I find no fault in him. There was no fault to be found in Jesus. What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Was he innocent from the blood of Jesus? No. He had the power to be able to save. No, you're not going to crucify him when he's not done anything. But politics. We all know the power of politics, don't we? And it's showing itself more and more. You know, you got to grease the palm of the politician. You get what you want. And if you're not willing to play the game, you don't get what you want. Well, we know that Pilate had to answer to Rome, and he was afraid that some would say that he was upholding one that had gone against Rome. But, of course, that was not the case with Jesus. Jesus was not a political antagonist. Verse 26, we see the pain of scourging. And I mentioned this in the message 2 weeks ago, or week ago, last week's message. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. We talked about the cat of nine tails and the bits of bone and metal that would be put in there, anything to rip the flesh. Whatever would rip the flesh, they'd put it at the end of the cat of nine tails. And these Roman soldiers would put their all into making the pain as miserable as they could for the one that they were whipping. They would, you know, hit him as hard as they could, and if they would run out of energy, they'd hand it over to somebody else and let them wail a while. And literally, most of the time when this would happen, some of the insides of the person would be exposed to the outside. And some would not even live through the scourging to make it to the crucifixion. We see the pain of shame and mockery again, down in verse 27. Then soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." So you got the pain of shame and mockery and the pain of the crown of thorns. This was not just little small thorns that we think of as thorns. They were actually pretty long, kind of like ice picks, really. Small ice picks that would be made out of. And they not only put it on his head, but they hit that with the, it says there in verse 30, they spit upon him, took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. So, a lot of pain and indignation from the soldiers who really were just carrying out their job. Really, that's what they were doing. It was all in the day's work for them. They weren't questioning who the victim was. They were told, crucify him. And so they tried to make it as painful for the person as possible. Does that let them off the hook? No. But they're not really the ones that crucified Jesus. Our sin is what put him on the cross. We see the pain of crucifixion. Of course, there's also the pain of bearing the cross. I didn't read about that, but verse 32, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. I mean, as Jesus was carrying the cross, no doubt the strength was waning from the wailing that he received at the scourging. And there in verse 33 it says, when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And that was the purpose for the purpose of being a little bit of an analgesic, but when he tasted, he wouldn't drink. So he drank the suffering for us. And it says there, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. So you got the pain of crucifixion, and then the pain of being numbered with transgressors. I mean, he was crucified between two thieves. Those two guys were guilty of what they were accused of. And verse number 38 says, then there were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And we know that one of those came to a saving knowledge of Jesus as his life was going from him on the cross. Then we see in verse 39, and they that passed by. Can you imagine being so, I don't know what the word would be, insensitive, that you love to just walk by somebody that's being crucified just to view them? That's what was happening here. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And we see the pain of restraint here. As they were mocking him here and saying these words, they said, "And thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Was he the Son of God? He most certainly was. But he didn't come down off the cross, because had he come down off the cross, he couldn't say it's finished. He would not drink the full cup of the suffering that he was to drink on our behalf. We see the pain of restraint and the pain here of becoming the sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. And it says in verse 41, "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with scribes and elders." And here they finally got what they wanted, they thought. We've been studying and preaching through the Gospel of John, and we've seen how the Pharisees, the priests, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they all just had it in for Jesus. And they tried many times to try to take his life by way of stoning or try to deliver him earlier. But Jesus escaped from them. But here they think that they have done Jesus in. They think that they have finished him off, is what they've done. And here they're mocking him in verse 42. Here's their mocking words: "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Well, he couldn't save himself and save others at the same time. "If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." Well, you know, they're going to be believers one day. "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. It's going to happen. Here we see, it says in verse 43, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Well, what they didn't realize is that's what Jesus came for. He came to give his life. And then we see possibly one of the greatest of the sufferings, and that's being the pain of when he was forsaken by the Father. There in verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." Well, that was their Greek understanding of what he was asking for. But here's the pain of him being forsaken by his heavenly Father. And then in verse 40, we see the pain of death. Jesus, when he cried again, and of course we know that cry from other scriptures was, "It is finished." He cried that with a loud voice. He yielded up the ghost. He cried to the Father. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Also, those two were kind of like right together. And when he did that, it was complete. The suffering that he endured on our behalf was done. It was finished. And when he was resurrected, he's glorified. He received a glorified body. He He laid his life down. He took his life back up again. And praise God, he could. And praise God, he did. I mean, the reason why he could is because he is God. God in the flesh. He said, you take it, you take it, and when I lay it down, I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it again. And he did that very thing. So tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, I want to give you a time to take and search your heart. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 11, where we go and when we partake of the Lord's table. And we're just going to have a period of time to search our hearts, and the reasoning behind that is what we find here. And I want to read this passage, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to pick up in verse number 23. We dealt with the previous verses the last time we partake of the Lord's table and talked about the things that were going on, of why they were not doing things the way they should. But let's just pick it at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You notice how Christ-centered this is? It's about my blood. He said, my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Talking about his substitutionary death on our behalf. And we're to keep doing this until he comes. He doesn't tell us how often to do it, but as often as you do it in remembrance of him. And there he said in verse 26, For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now something that we see there in that phrase, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, for him to come again, he surely had to be resurrected, right? He's with the Father, making intercession on our behalf, and he is coming again. We preach his coming again. And that, what a glorious doctrine that is. It can't happen soon enough for us, can it? I mean, we're ready for it to happen. And we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. And that's a good thing to do. We're told to do that. But until he comes, we're to remember. And we see in verse 27, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, none of us are worthy. I always point this out. We're not worthy, but he's talking about partaking in an unworthy manner. And part of that unworthy manner is when unconfessed sin in your life. And that's why he says in verse 28, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There's a lot of folks who say, Well, I just got too much in my life, and I'm just not going to partake of the Lord's table. I'm not going to go. They're going to have the Lord's table tonight, and I'm not going. But that's not what we're to do. Is that what it tells us to do? It tells us to take care of what's going on, and eat that bread and drink of that cup. And for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And of course it was affecting the Corinthians. He said, For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, they were some that were even dying. So for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now so we're going to judge ourselves right now. And So that we might not be judged. Amen. Let's take and I'm going to spend some time in prayer here silently, and I encourage you to do that, and then we'll come to the table and partake of the elements.